Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, I'm going to admit it right here. I am the sleep police in this house. And ever since my children were little, I have been the early to bed, early to rise kind of parent. And as a result, I feel I'm lucky. My 19 and 16 year old still like to go to bed early and they still like to sleep. And I know so many of my friends' children don't go to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning. And then, of course, school starts so early and they wander around in a daze. We're talking about children's sleep cycles today and how important to their overall health sleep really is to our kids. My guest is Dr. Natasha Burgert. She's board-certified pediatrician in Kansas City. She's a spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics, and she is a mom of two, as I am. Dr. Burgert, welcome. I'm so glad you could join us today. I'd like to just start with how important you feel sleep is to our little guys, and how much do they really need?
That's a great question. I'm also kind of the sleep warrior in our house, too, because I understand how important it is for our kids, not only physically, but mentally, in order to get the hours of sleep that they need. And most kids in, certainly in my practice, are what I would consider chronically sleep deprived. So most kids, when they start out with their sleep cycles, parents become obsessed about that sleep when they're infants and really harbor in the fact that they need to get those, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day and really become rigid almost and sometimes to get that sleep. As kids age, however, that parental attention to sleep, I think, starts to wane. And even though our kids, even well into teenage years, need 9 to 10 hours of sleep, parents aren't there to continually enforce and coach the sleep that our kids do need.
I agree with you completely. And really, it's so hard, especially with the teenagers, but even in the little baby years, to get them on that sleep cycle. And I remember that a lot of my friends said, oh, you put your kids to bed at 6 or 6:30. They wake up at 5. How do you deal with that? And I was like, I don't mind. I get up early for work and I don't mind them getting up at 5 or 5:30 or 6 or whatever it is, because then they take their naps. And it worked out so beautifully. I don't even have to knock on wood on that because it's already done and down the line. But you said 10 to 14 hours. Is that what you said for the recommended amount of sleep?
Yeah, especially for our little ones. I mean, some kids, including daytime hours, need well beyond 12 hours of sleep. But to your point of having that schedule fit your lifestyle, you did that beautifully with your kids and their routine. They went to bed early, got up early, that is the routine of your family. And I have some families that may not put their kids down until later hours, but have the opportunity to let them sleep in later. So as long as those kids are still getting the recommended hours within that 24-hour clock, most parents will be doing just fine.
Well, so before we get into teens, toddlers, and all that, I want to ask you a question about what you just said, because when I do a lot of these shows, and when I was researching sleep, I learned from some experts that morning sleep, when the light is shining in the window, is not as quality as the nighttime sleep and the evening hours if it's dark outside. Is that true? Is that a myth?
No, I think that's relatively true. We, you know, sleep comes in cycles. We wave between light sleep and dark, or light sleep and deep sleep as we progress through the night. And during our earliest hours of sleep, we are getting that deep restorative sleep. As the hours become later and we get towards the morning, we're having more time in that lighter sleep phase. That's why kids wake up early in the morning. So to your point, I think that that's true when it's dark and that good restorative sleep happens earlier in that cycle. But whether that is beginning at 6 o'clock for your family or 8 o'clock at your family, I don't think that necessarily matters.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. So let's start with little babies. People are never quite sure about the cry it out. And we're not doing a whole show today on, you know, getting your baby to sleep. This is more on the sleep cycles than as kids age. But getting your baby to sleep is the bane of every new parent's existence, practically. Do they cry it out? Do they sit in there? Do they sneak away, crawl on the floor? What do they do? I mean, it's huge. And I do remember crawling out of the room quite a few times and standing at the door to listen if they were going to wake up, you know. What do you recommend to parents as a general bit of advice and information on setting that baby's sleep cycle and getting them that important sleep and starting that sleep training?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to understand that the sleep cycle changes as babies get older. So little infants, when they pop out of the womb, don't have organized sleep structure. They have very short sleep cycles, kind of flirting between awakeness and light sleep until they get a little bit older. So having kids that wake up frequently or even take really short naps is totally normal. And that is how their brain is working. You cannot train or change the way that that sleep is working in their brain. I still encourage all of my families, first and foremost, talk to your partner about what your goals are, because it is maddening to watch some families struggle with sleep when the two partners in the home don't agree on what the sleep goal in the house should be. So first and foremost, talk to your partner and decide what kind of sleep routine, sleep habits, and the value of sleep, what does that look like in our home? And that will solve a lot of your conflicts, even before you start looking at your child specifically. When you are working with an infant into later in infancy, as we're approaching the six-month mark, that's when those sleep phases become more organized, more adult-like, and the ability to coach them or train them into a more routine, extended sleep at night becomes more practical. But until that sleep structure changes in that infant's brain, any sort of training, cry it out, sneaking on the floor, that kind of stuff is simply not going to work.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. And sometimes you do that great sleep training when they're of the perfect age. And my pediatrician put her little fingers in her ears and said, la, 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 when, you know, you start to hear that crying. And for some people, it works. Then it stops working. Then it works again. I mean, sometimes you have to do it a lot of times. As they move into their little toddlerhoods and you even think about putting them in a little bed as opposed to something that has, you know, rails around it, which keeps them in there, they might start to wander or they might start to not want to go to sleep at the time that you want them to. So what do you do as their sleep cycles change as they get into toddlerhood and then they start kindergarten? And then it's different again.
Big gaps. Yeah, big gaps. Getting into toddlerhood, most people are so fearful of that toddler bed, but I assure you, if you transition them well by coaching them through, talking about their big boy bed, making it a big deal, still having that same routine and timing and security items, that transition for most families actually goes really, really swimmingly. It's really the getting closer to kindergarten is where a lot of kids do struggle, because there are a lot of kindergartners who still need a nap and they're not getting that quality sleep for the number of hours in a 24-hour period that they need, just because we're busy and school takes up so much of that time. So transitioning to kindergarten is often a time where I will have hear families say, you know, we even had to push the bedtime back further than we ever had before because they're working so hard during the day and they can't get that nap.
I hear you there. And you just like gave me a big deja vu because I was so worried with my first child that he wouldn't get into the morning kindergarten because he really needed the nap. And the afternoon kindergarten kids, I was like, oh my God, those kids are exhausted. And how are they able to get through school in the afternoon? And I mean, Clayton literally would come home, eat something and fall asleep. And so right. That was a big worry for me. And so I hear you there. Now they get a little older and they get old enough to talk back. They get old enough to want a phone. They get into their little tween years and God help us all, because that's when they start to really, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of funny memes, doctor, where it says it's all about that phone. It's that damn phone is the reason for all these problems. It really is. I mean, they want to sit up and sit on their phone.
It's true. And that's where, certainly in my practice, when any device is even introduced into the home, whether it be an Xbox, an iPad, a phone, we keep them out of the kids' bedroom, just first and foremost, because you're exactly right. Those screens are built to addict and stimulate that brain and want you craving more. And it's very hard to pull away. I will be the first to raise my hand and say that's difficult for adults. How can we expect our kids to do that voluntarily? They won't. So we need to be on top of those electronic devices of all kinds at night to help them, to train them, to coach them and say, your sleep is important. Your body is important. And I am helping you prioritize your body by keeping those devices out of the room. And that is not just teenagers. That even my itty bitty toddlers have that problem now.
Well, and it's really pretty much good sleep hygiene for even adults, because it does make your mind start to sparkle and you start to think about things and you go on Twitter and you get upset or you do something like that. It's like, ah, right. So we really need to get rid of those things as early in the evening as possible. So our teens. Now, as I understand it, Dr. Burgert, the teen brain, which is nuts enough as it is, really has a whole different sleep cycle. And with school starting early, some people are trying to change that, make it a little lighter later. What do we do about our teenagers who really can't always fall asleep as early as we would like them to so that they get that good quality sleep?
Absolutely. Their hours are condensed. Their hours are often of low quality. They're working well into midnight on schoolwork and activities. It's tough. I think most of my families that do it well, that prioritize sleep in their home, still encourage, first of all, an electronic break like we discussed before they try to go down, but also coaching their teenagers and enforcing that we have the same bedtime every night, regardless of activity, regardless of how much homework you have. And if you still have homework to do, if you still have activities, you're going to do it in the morning to start not having those midnight hours start to interfere. I do have kids that do have a sleep phase shift where it is really, really hard for them physically. They lay in bed for hours and they cannot fall asleep. And in those instances, I have used other sleep agents like melatonin, calming agents, calming apps, other things to do in order to get that nice sleep hormone energized to kind of pull them out of that phase shift that most teenagers go through. And I do think that we are starting to see evidence that later school days are decreasing accidents, they're increasing academic performance, and something that I hope more communities are starting to talk about.
Well, I hope so too. And I know my daughter certainly does, because she did a debate in her high school class about starting school later. Then we've got things like daylight savings time. When they were little, I kind of left the clock the way it was and then turned it while they were asleep and then, you know, kind of eased them into it. But with, you know, the older kids, they certainly know, oh, I've got this extra hour. And then even with the summertime, you know, they stay up later because they don't have to get up unless they're in summer school or have a job, which they should have. And they stay up later, and then everything's thrown away once the school starts back again. They're not used to it. So give us your best advice about all of these time changes and things that happen in a children's life that can affect their sleep, and how do we deal with it?
I think when you're talking about all of those different things, and I would also include travel, right? Because so many of our kids are traveling from one time zone to another these days as well, and having this jet lag feeling, not only in daylight savings times, but all throughout the year, I really encourage my families to think about that nighttime routine. And I know it might sound trite or insignificant, but if you can train your body for a specific nighttime routine to let your body know it is time to rest, it will help you during those times when the schedule might be a little irregular or the time zone that you're in might not coincide with what you're used to. Your body will still be trained that when I read a book, when I grab a glass of water, when I lay down, whatever that rhythm is, it will encourage your continued routine. And when you come back into your normal time zone or return from vacation, you'll be able to settle right back into the same routine you're used to if you still have those same triggers for your body. Of course, not every time is perfect. I remember struggling through daylight savings with my kids. It's only a few days before the body is going to shift back those cycles and adjust to where you want them. And certainly we all have days in the summer where we're out late and having fun with our families. So not every day is perfect, but the more routine we can be, the more routine in the sequence of going to bed we can keep that as consistent as possible, it will help everybody out in the family.
I agree. And as we wrap up, your best advice when parents ask you about sleeping and children and all of these things that are interfering with that good quality sleep today, what do you tell them? What's your most important thing that you want everybody to know about children and sleep and making sure that whether they're little babies or teenagers or even adults, how important sleep is?
Sleep is a parent's job. It is our job to coach our kids in order to have this restorative and important thing happen in our brains in order to keep our bodies healthy. And as we age and we talk about behavior and school performance and ADHD and immune deficiencies and other problems that we have that are going to creep up in our lives, the first thing I'm going to ask you about is sleep. It's that formative, but kids are not going to do it on their own. They need you. They need you to coach them. They need you to make them consistent. They need you to demonstrate how important sleep is in your own life so that they will know how important it is in theirs.
Beautifully put, Dr. Burgert. Really, that is the most important bit of information, and what a great show, because this is, I mean, people don't realize. And then you see your children, maybe they're not doing as well in their activities. Maybe they're not doing as well in their schoolwork, or they're not thinking clearly, and it's so important. So as a mom of two myself, and as the sleep warrior in this household, I can tell other parents, you know, get your kids to sleep. Do what Dr. Burgert has recommended, because it's that important. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. You can listen on a lot of different aggregates, iHeart, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, but we want you to listen at RadioMD.com. And as always, our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics, the gold standard for pediatricians, and we just love our pediatricians. So thank you for listening, and stay well.